With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Most interactive sports talk show in town, your beloved Houston Astros are taking on the Minnesota Twins this weekend, starting Saturday at Minute Maid Park. The Twins swept their three-game series in Minneapolis against the Toronto Blue Jays quite easily. Toronto, nothing offensively in this one. Nothing. Minnesota wins 3-1 game one. Minnesota wins 2-0 game two. Neither of those victories particularly convincing by the Twins, but I do think there are reasons to, at the very least, be wary of them, specifically that the Astros did not seem to take them seriously this year. They are 2-4 against Minnesota on the year, Sean Mapes, behind the glass.
Yeah, and I know this is about the Twins, but one second on the Toronto Blue Jays. Didn't they do this same exact thing last year where they, I think actually last year they hosted the Seattle Mariners and they just lost both games. Like they come in, they look good, you see all the talent, and they just lose in the wild card round. I just want to get a quick like Toronto baseball, congratulations. You're sadder than Minnesota sports. Just congratulations.
That's not nice.
You did that.
That's not nice. But it is true.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
It is true.
And the one sport they care about, they stink at too.
At least, they care about basketball, don't they? They won a title.
I think they won a title and then cared about basketball.
So they cared about it title after they won.
Yeah, once they got Kawhi, they started caring about it.
Toronto is definitely a hockey town. They care about the Raptors. They have that stupid We the North stuff.
Oh, I think they like Drake, and Drake tells them to like the Raptors. The Raptors. I'm not sure how much they. Growing up, I didn't hear much about these Toronto Raptors fans. I'm just saying.
We do, by the way, have official game times when it comes to the Astros this weekend, and they are very good for football watching. I'm actually very happy about this because I was concerned about the Saturday game because the Saturday game was going to be on at the same time as the Red River Shootout. At least it potentially could be. But the first game on Saturday for the American League playoffs and playoffs as a whole, it's going to be Rangers and Orioles at noon. Twins Astros 3:45. I like that. That is very well set up.
About halftime of A&M Alabama.
About halftime, yeah. Right?
That's not bad. That's not bad. Better than imagine being there's probably a ton of Sooners and Rangers fans that are just gonna be in sports hell.
Yeah, that's probably true because I imagine there's a bunch in Arlington of Sooners fans. And, of course, that probably would be – now, obviously, this first game is taking place in Baltimore. But I wonder what you do. I think if you live in Dallas, let's be honest, you're probably caring more if you're a UT person or an OU person about that than you're caring about this game. And it is – it's a pretty big game. Texas is number three. They killed Oklahoma last year. Oklahoma's – at the very least playing for pride, if not to actually win the game, you know, because they do play to win the game. But they can't, if you're OU, you just can't get embarrassed 2 years in a row. Like, this is so novel.
Yeah. It really is like you have to play for your pride.
So Saturday, again, the Astros, they play 3:45. Sunday, we'll get to watch the Texans and Falcons, baby, because Twins-Astros on Sunday, 7 o'clock first pitch.
Ooh, that's how you know the Yankees and Red Sox are not in the playoffs, because the Astros are getting a prime time,
baby, against the Minnesota team of all teams. Who's playing in Sunday Night Football? Oh.
Is it Cowboys?
This kind of sucks. I'm not going to lie.
Cowboys-Niners, right?
I'm not going to lie. Cowboys-Niners was pretty exciting to me as an NFL fan this week. We'll talk more about that in the next segment.
Two-screen that bad boy.
But those are your starting times. No announced starting pitchers yet, at the very least. I could be wrong. Could change in 10, 15 minutes for the Astros and for the Twins. But 3:45 Saturday, 7 o'clock on Sunday at Minute Maid Park. So you get to watch football. Huzzah! I'm kind of excited about that. All right, what do we know about the Minnesota Twins? And you might have heard me do that a couple of times in the show already. Anyone remember those Coors Light commercials from the early 2000s? Essentially, there was this very catchy jingle for about 30 seconds. It was like, I love blah, 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 blah.
And all the blah, blah, blahs is just dude stuff.
Yeah. And Twins.
And Twins.
I don't know why that caught on with the American public the way that it did. Back when beer commercials were allowed to be masculine. Back in my day, we used to talk about pom-poms and short skirts in a commercial.
Yeah, wait, you don't understand why these are a big deal? These commercials rock.
Twins, they do rock. Gotta bring them back. The Real Men of Genius commercials from Bud Light, also good commercials. These were good commercials. Perhaps they promoted toxic masculinity or frat boy behavior, which is what some of these beer companies want to get away from. But when I think of the Minnesota Twins, all I can think of is that Coors Light commercial.
And Twins.
Twins.
I also love the guitar riff right at the end.
Yes. Randomly. Some of the other lyrics in it. Dogs that love cats. That's a weird one. But the Twins.
I think that might be a euphemism.
Oh.
I think. I might be putting too much credit into the,
you know what,
to the songwriters of Coors Light commercials.
It shows like a Persian cat who's like winking at the dog. Like they're sexualizing the cat.
Because all
weird.
Cats are girls and all dogs are boys.
Oh, that makes sense. Twins!
And Twins!
Hey, here's some fun facts about the Twins. They used to be called the Washington Senators. They won a World Series in 1987 and in 1991. Famous players, Kirby Puckett, RIP. Johan Santana, Joe Mauer, Justin Morneau, and a couple of guys who have interesting last names. Rod Carew, I'll be honest, I don't know anything about him. Harmon Killebrew, be honest, I don't know anything about him. Bert Blilven, don't know anything about him.
And those Twins!
Did you know, Sean Mapes, that Minnesota is the Sioux word for cloudy water? What is this, Galveston?
Yeah.
They're on a lake.
I know a certain cloudy water that that I'm sure they like. Coors Light.
And Twins.
Hell yeah, dude. The state motto, L'Étoile du Nord, which means Star of the North in French. Hey, remember when the North Stars, the hockey team, moved to Dallas? What a bunch of losers.
And Twins.
It's nicknamed the Gopher State, the North Star State, and the Land of 10,000 Lakes. One of them, though, 9,999, the Lakers are in Los Angeles.
And those Twins.
I'm sorry, we're going to kill this week. Did you know that St. Paul and Minneapolis are the 16th largest metro area in the United States? Again, you guys have to help me with material. I'm just giving you some fun facts. St. Paul was once known as Pig's Eye. You know why? because of the French-Canadian whiskey trader, Pierre Parent, of course. He was nicknamed Pig's Eye. He helped found St. Paul.
And those twins.
The flag of Minnesota, racist. Seriously. The seal shows a white settler plowing a field and a Native American passing by on a horse. A new design is underway. I don't know why that's racist. Seems like the Native American's the one that's running the show there. He's on the horse. The other dude's just plowing stuff.
I'll have to see it, but I imagine it looks like those paintings that were in the town hall of Parks and Recreation. that's what I imagine it looks like.
That wouldn't be good. Did you know Minnesota is the only state that's the source of three major rivers? The Mississippi, the Red River of the North. What the hell is that? The St. Louis River. Cool.
And twins.
I like, though. Minnesota is the only state where water flows out from and not into. Oh, look at us. We're generous with our water.
Wait. How's that possible?
It flows north to south. All water goes north to south.
But no, but if...
Because the earth is flat, but it's like kind of like round.
No, but if other states' water's flowing into it, that must mean the next state over, it's flowing out of that state into the next one.
You know what, Sean? Forget about it. What do we care about? We only care about...
And twins.
Besides Alaska, Minnesota has more wolves than any other state. Damn. Okay. I'd rather think about the twins than wolves. There's wolves in Minnesota? That's kind of scary.
Well, the Timberwolves. That's, I imagine, true. That's why they have those that name.
Never thought about that before, Sean. Never thought about it. The Mall of America in Bloomington has been the largest mall in the Western Hemisphere ever since it surpassed the West Edmonton Mall in Edmonton, Alberta.
And those twins.
While we're on good music, Prince twins. He was born Prince Rogers Nelson in 1958 in Minneapolis. How about that?
Did he have a brother? Maybe one born at the same time as him?
And twins.
Was he fraternal? Was he identical? I don't know. Some old laws in Minnesota that'll make you scratch your head. It's against the law to cross the state line with a chicken or a duck on your head. I get that.
I would love to know, like, the reason they had to make that law.
Someone was high.
And twins.
Maybe it was twins. Ace Ventura. Wait, check that. No. James Jesse? Jesse the Body Ventura. I don't know anything about wrestling. Work with me here. Jesse the Body Ventura.
It was like Ace Ventura.
And some,
I mean,
twins.
It involves animals, I guess.
They were making some laws. There are twins in there. If you live in Brainerd, Minnesota, and you're a man, you must grow a beard by law.
I don't like that.
I know it'll help you get. I don't know if we can play this clip after this one. This
is no, sort of a... I looked ahead in the rundown. I will not be playing the clip after
this
one.
Play, you're not going to play Ann no. Twins after George Floyd died in Minnesota? R.I.P.? No? Okay. Well, that's where it happened.
That's the common bond.
Not a fun fact.
Yeah, not
that is
fact.
True. George Floyd from Houston died in Minnesota. Don't go to a Target in Minnesota, by the way. That seems like a lot of bad stuff goes down there. Anyway. A little sobering, huh? Should the Houston Astros give Carlos Correa a standing ovation when he comes back to Minute Maid Park? Many people are saying yes. Do you agree? 780-3776 twins. Let me tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance. You know what I like more than twins? TGS, baby. Home insurance rates are going nuts. See some of the increases here? Everything's getting more expensive, but holy crap, 50% increases for some people. Stop the craziness, because it's so easy. You probably think it's hard. It's not. It's really easy. You just have to text the word money to 232323 and then give them your address. And you have an alternative. You can save some money. We're all lazy. We don't do any of the things that we need to do on a daily basis to save money for ourselves. But imagine you could do it this quick. So take your phone. Text money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. You're going to get a proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. 35,000 of your neighbors in the area trust TGS. And with thousands of five-star reviews, you can too. Simple, fast, easy, big savings. It's why TGS is the gold standard. So go get your savings right now. Text the word money and save some money to 232323.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here, your family.
Look at our family now.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The question I have for you really quickly. What are you supposed to do with Carlos Correa at the plate against the Astros in the playoffs? First time back. Standing ovation, right? I wonder. I saw enough, not many, but enough Astros fans online saying, you can't do that. He left us. He wanted a lot of money. I think that's understandable for a guy like Carlos Correa to be looking for a lot of money. The Astros didn't give it to him. I don't think it was a ugly split by any means. It wasn't one with George Springer either. And I do think that his first postseason return to Houston, that he should get a standing ovation. I truly do. I wonder if it'll happen, though. Do you think it'll happen? Sean, you're shaking your head.
I'm not sure if it'll happen or not, but I don't... Not a standing ovation. It's the playoffs, Paul.
You can't stop the game.
Stop the game. They already did this in the regular season when he came here.
So how many
standing ovations is he going to get?
Bear Brothers said the same thing on the Twitch.
It's the playoffs.
Yeah, but here's the thing. How many people went to that regular season game? Not that many.
It's not about getting literally every person in Houston to stand up and clap for Correa.
I think it should be. Honestly, I think he deserves a standing ovation every time he's back. George Springer, too. Charlie Morton, as well. Certain players who are on those teams, I think that they deserve it.
If Carlos Correa hits a clutch home run against the Houston Astros...
Then you boo!
No, you boo him then. Because all of the great memories he gave you. You should clap for that, too.
It's before anything happens.
I don't think... I think... I'm not saying you boo him. I'm not saying you throw stuff at him. I'm just saying that... He's an opposing player, just like, I don't know, any other opposing player.
No, he's not like any other player. His arrival meant the Astros were a relevant baseball team.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. Again, we've already done the tribute video. We've already done all that.
They need to do another tribute video. I'm sorry I'm a pro player in 2023, but guess what?
Does Dallas Keuchel get one?
Yeah.
Okay. Does Hank Conger get one?
Oh, damn. Now you're going to make it tricky because...
He was part of that 2015 team.
Well, they didn't win a World Series.
Hank Conger helped turn around the Houston Astros.
Keuchel won a Cy Young and Keuchel won a World Series. Carlos Correa won a World Series. Hank Conger did not win a World Series.
Okay, so if you win a World Series, okay, so in 5 years when Rafael Montero comes back to Houston, does he get a standing ovation? Do you stop the game and give him a standing ovation?
I don't have a comeback.
Maybe
for
play
that.
A video.
I don't have a comeback for that, but I feel like he's very
Ken
different.
Giles, does he get one?
Ken Giles didn't win a World Series.
2017.
I don't think he was on the 2017 team. He was?
He was.
Oh, Jesus.
He got traded in 19 for they won Roberto Osuna.
Okay. A texter says, yeah, we can give him 30 seconds, and I agree with the one texter who agrees with me. Because, of course, I'm right.
Read the text right above it or right below it. I'm not even looking. I'm just saying that.
Minnesota, home of the Juicy Lucy hamburger. That's right below it.
That's a good time.
And those twins.
I don't have it ready. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's fair. A couple other comments here. Todd, the show. It's the playoffs. Do not cheer for Correa. Hugh Dab says we can celebrate him on the last Minnesota out. There is some pretty disgusting talk about. I can't even bring that up. You guys are such animals on the Twitch line. Can we stop? Can we stay on topic? Can we keep it to the commercial breaks? The sex talk? There's a disgusting sex talk going on. Ew. It is so gross. Anyway, let's shift. Big game.
And those twins.
Thank you. The ultimate subject changer. Twins! Cavender twins. Are those the top twins in America today? I don't know. I'm just asking the question. Anyway, guys. Big game this weekend for the Dallas Cowboys, who we talk about a lot, for the ratings. It's time for Playing with the Boys.
I want me some glory help.
Prescott, he starts to come and then he pulls out.
How about them Cowboys?
Cowboys, 49ers, Sunday night football, baby. It's been back. Now, the Cowboys have lost both of those games, but playoff games in back-to-back years? That hasn't happened since 1994 and 1995. I'm not going to lie. I'm bummed out that my sports consciousness really began in the 1995 conference championship weekend. Like that's like the furthest back I could remember in the NFL. Because I remember it was Cowboys Packers in the NFC championship game, and it was Colts Steelers in the AFC championship game, and the Steelers won. Jim Harbaugh was the quarterback for the Colts, and he threw a Hail Mary, and I think it came up just short or something like that. Anyway, it's been a while since Cowboys and 49ers has had juice. I was looking for highlights from those games, and a guy who played for both the Dallas Cowboys and San Francisco 49ers in back-to-back years, he is a reason that the Dallas Cowboys can bitch about the referees, much like they do with the Dez Bryant coach. Did Dez catch it? Well, were they going to stop Aaron Rodgers if they got the ball back? Probably not. But want to hear some old-fashioned Pat Summerall and John Madden to get you hyped? This is Michael Irvin getting pass interfered with by Deion Sanders.
Francisco 43. Aikman again will have to throw and does and goes deep. The pass is incomplete. Intended for Michael Irvin. And Deion Sanders is with him.
And he had Deion on that one. The whole Cowboys sideline is looking for a penalty on this one. You see, he gets his left hand in there. That's the way defensive backs feel where the guy's going.
I didn't get a lot of Pat Summerall and John Madden in my life, but I miss those two voices. This segment is straight 90s nostalgia, isn't it?
Man, remember the glory days?
The glory days of this rivalry. Well, it was the glory days of that rivalry. So Deion Sanders only played with the 49ers for 1 year, 1994, after leaving the Atlanta Falcons, and then he played for the Cowboys from 1995 through 1999. He wins one Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys. Sanders is a Dallas Cowboy. I know that he played for a bunch of teams, but you don't remember him as a Falcon. You remember him as primetime with the Dallas Cowboys. It was a match made in heaven. But here's a tricky question that was asked before we talk about, or before we watch Sunday Night Football, the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers on this smaller TV as we watch Astros and Twins. Game number two. 7 o'clock on Sunday. Is Terrell Owens the San Francisco 49er or a Dallas Cowboy? This is his most infamous moment as a San Francisco 49er, where at Cowboys Stadium, in a game where I believe he scored at least two touchdowns, possibly three, he went to the star at midfield of Cowboys Stadium to celebrate. It led to Emmitt Smith doing the exact same thing after he scored a touchdown. It was a really funny game-long bit, but eventually it ended with George Teague absolutely killing him.
And Spellman, I think, was how they got their run defense back on track last week.
Garcia to Owens, touchdown. Owens again heading for midfield. There he goes.
Yeah, there's going to be a penalty on George Teague because he's going to clock him. Now Teague's going to be kicked out of the game. You know, I got to tell you, I don't blame Teague for doing that. I really don't.
It's pretty crazy to think about Terrell Owens' majority of his career, 96 to 2003, being with the San Francisco 49ers because of so many teams that he played on afterwards, Eagles, Cowboys, Bills, and Bengals. Is Terrell Owens remembered better, though, as a San Francisco 49er or as a Dallas Cowboy, where he played from 2006 to 2008? He is remembered best in Dallas for this moment.
It's not about, you know, Tony. You guys can point the finger at him. You can talk about the vacation. And if you do that, it's really unfair. It's really unfair. It's my team. It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost as a team. We lost as a team, man.
Imagine crying because there's media reports about your quarterback and Jessica Simpson going to Cabo on a bye week. Didn't get the same kind of coverage that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift got, by the way. Jessica Simpson, she wasn't ever Taylor Swift popular, but she was always considered one of the most beautiful women in America. And he was the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe not one of the best quarterbacks in the game.
But he was the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
Right. Well-deserved media coverage on that. Did not get to Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce levels. It should have. It's pretty funny that that made Terrell Owens cry, though. That is your quarterback. Yeah, that's your quarterback boinking Jessica Simpson in Cabo. Good for them.
It is kind of weird how he just kind of, like, broke down. Like, I can't really see the point where he, like, gets emotional. You know?
Yeah,
like,
why?
I don't know.
There's nothing to be mad about here.
Is it crazy? But I think he's more remembered as a Cowboy, but I think he was better as a Niner.
He had more important moments with the 49ers. He had his most important moment with the Philadelphia Eagles.
But just being T.O., being the star that he was after the Eagles stuff, doing the sit-ups in his driveway, and then playing for America's team, being in that kind of spotlight, I feel like that nudges him. And then this was a great meme for 2007. I feel like that nudges him more into being remembered more as a Cowboy than a Niner. But he's kind of a tough guy because, like, there's no team.
T.O.
No team really claims him.
I mean, remember, there's no I in team, but there is a me.
Yeah.
I believe that line came from Terrell Owens. And Terrell Owens is just a Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He didn't give a speech. And I believe that, yeah, he would just want to go in his street clothes probably. But I think that he had more important moments in San Francisco. That touchdown catch that he had against the Green Bay Packers.
Clobbered.
Right. Where he had like four drops in the game before that. But he caught that catch right there. Yeah, he had more big moments with San Francisco. His biggest moment in Dallas was that moment right there where he's crying. And a couple of other
And the celebration where he eats the popcorn.
The popcorn, there was that, yeah.
It is funny, though, that the two most memorable ones are, like, not what actually happened on the field. Which is very Dallas Cowboys.
Who could make a play? I can't. I love me some meat. I did love Terrell Owens back in the day.
I did, too.
At high school football practice, I would just quote Terrell Owens all the time and act like I was Terrell Owens.
I'm sure everyone loved that.
It was very believable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You got any thoughts on the Astros and Twins? Series begins on Saturday at 3:45. Please join us on the most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Akalon says at Sean A. Mapes on Twitter. Let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton. The Pendleton Roundup has defined what it means to be a Cowboy, much like Deion Sanders and much like Terrell Owens. But the Pendleton Roundup also gave life to something equally renowned, Pendleton Whiskey. And I love the original stuff. I've told you about this before. Give me a nice scotch glass, one big old cube of ice, pour that goodness in there. It's smooth. It's refreshing. It's really good whiskey made with the finest northern grains and cut with Mount Hood Glacier water. It's not too sweet either. It's just perfect, just right. And it's a whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. It's like having cowboy boots on at all times. Those are nice because they make you a little bit taller. That's Pendleton Whiskey. That's true Western tradition, the official whiskey of the PBR Tour.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. We got weights and fish.
We got weights and fish.
There we go. Oh!
Yeah!
back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Help behave, Paul. Give him hell.
Astros Twins start Saturday, 3:45. Justin Verlander on the hill first. Framber Valdez, the game two starter. Game two, Astros and Twins. It starts at 7 o'clock. So if you want to weigh in on that, 713-780-3776 to call and to text. I said it earlier in the show. I think you have to give the Twins a little more credit than you're probably giving them. They are 4-2 against the Astros this year. They hit home runs. They strike out batters a lot. They do have some very good players. Royce Lewis, Juan Duran, Pablo Lopez, Sonny Gray's having a good year. I don't think they're going to be a pushover. I hope I am wrong. I will gladly admit I'm wrong if I am. But with the way that the Astros have played this year, I don't think you can really overlook anybody just yet, unless all of a sudden they just go playoff mode again like they were last year where they won the first 7 games. I still need to see a little bit of something out there. However, if things do get dubious, I am not going to turn on them like a lot of you people, supposedly loyal Astros fans who have been questioning our fearless leader, Dusty Baker and Martin Maldonado. I will go Astros televangelist on you as we go forward on the great journey. You can still apologize, but this is going to be, I think, a little bit more difficult of a series than meets the eye. Okay. You know, the Houston Texans are changing a lot of people's minds, and I know that some of you people out there are still perhaps resisting the, I can't say that word on the air, you are resisting the smooching of CJ Stroud, Houston Texans QB1's donk. You're resisting it. But some people are changing their minds. Before I go to a couple of clips that are from the Ryan Russillo podcast, which is probably my favorite sports podcast. Colin Cowherd, remember how he was so anti-CJ Stroud? Remember how he had that weird classic Colin Cowherd analogy or metaphor about granite countertops, BMWs, you got to go up against toughness if you want to succeed in the NFL. He's actually jumped on the CJ Stroud train. This is Colin Cowherd last week admitting he was wrong about Stroud.
Where Colin was wrong.
How about CJ Stroud? Missing offensive lineman. He's an adult. He's a professional. He reads the defense. Really like what I see. Shaky O-line.
Didn't say he was wrong, though. That's a bit disappointing. But hey, at the very least, he's saying he's good. He's not saying that CJ Stroud hasn't gone through adversity either, which he has because his dad has been in jail twice and is currently in jail. I think that's adversity, Sean Mapes.
No. Well, A, the segment is called Where Colin Was Wrong, and so I think that it's understood that if he's praising CJ Stroud, he
didn't
wrong.
Apologize.
Also,
graphic is enough to admit you're wrong. That's kind of
well. There's also imaging. It was okay. The start of the clip.
Okay,
the clip literally starts with where Colin was wrong.
Where Colin was wrong.
I'm still not sure he's gone through adversity. Or no, actually,
come on.
Now he's gone through adversity. I will say now because Laremy Tunsil didn't play the last.
Oh right, okay, because he's playing for the Texans and not Ohio State.
Yeah, because the offensive line injuries. That's the adversary that me and Colin Cowherd want to see.
The offensive line, the receivers who we thought going into the year were going to be a weakness.
Adversity.
Adversary.
Not all those granite countertops and crown molding.
Right. The adversity can be an adversary, I think.
Adversary.
Well, you did say adversary at first, and now my brain is getting twisted.
Oh, I'm sorry, Paul.
You know what else?
I'm sorry I'm the first person on the show to ever misspeak.
That's true. Thank you for admitting it.
Unlike Colin Cowherd.
He didn't admit it. Obviously joking a little bit there. He's not the only person that's changing his mind on C.J. Stroud. Todd McShay was the biggest C.J. Stroud bobo going into this year's draft. He was pumping his tires quite a bit. Here is Todd McShay earlier this week on Ryan Russillo's podcast, continuing that praise.
I don't want to say it's rare, but more often than not, when a quarterback comes out and plays this well early on, it's a sign that he's going to have long-term success in the league. And I love that for C.J. Stroud. I love that everyone doubted him. I loved all the rumors and the talk about the whatever test it was that he wasn't, you know, couldn't process things fast enough. And he wasn't as smart as Bryce Young and all that stuff that came out and where they were kind of like other agencies were utilizing that against him. He was the best pure passer, and I said it 3,000 times leading up to the last April's draft. He was the best pure passer in that class and maybe the best pure passer in a couple of years coming out in the draft. No interceptions. He's lost two fumbles, but, you know, a rookie quarterback through four games only turning the ball over twice is pretty damn good, man. And again, doing it under pressure just shows how quickly he's processing, which everyone wanted to knock him for.
The first thing that you heard from McShay there, I think, is the most important thing. When a quarterback starts off like this, it doesn't guarantee success, but it's a pretty good indicator that he's going to end up being good. And obviously, there will be some lulls. There will be some bad games from C.J. Stroud. It's going to happen. But to this point, it has been impressive, and it's the week-to-week improvement, which on another episode of the Ryan Russillo podcast, Julian Edelman, arguably an NFL Hall of Fame wide receiver, in the eyes of people that grew up in the Massachusetts area. Sean Maves is making a face. One of the greatest postseason receivers of all time, so don't make that face.
Oh, but he played in a million postseason games. Of course he's going to be.
Shut up! Here's what Julian Edelman had to say about C.J. Stroud.
I've been really impressed with Stroud. I watched him in the preseason, and he didn't look this great. And what it tells me is, with these young quarterbacks, you really want to look for, how are they improving each week? Are they making the same mistakes twice? And C.J. Stroud hasn't. I mean, he's taking the coaching. That's all you want to see from a young quarterback. You want to just see if he's improving, because you're going to make a mistake as a young player. You're going to make mistakes. Mistakes are made by everyone. This league is the best league, you know, when it comes to parity and all that and having dogs on all sides. So it's about, how does the kid handle mistakes? Does he learn from the mistake? Does he make the same mistake twice? And C.J. Stroud's been doing a great job by not making the same mistake twice.
Love hearing that. And I mean, it's been consistent with what I've been telling you from the beginning of the preseason. Week one didn't look good, but he did get better as that game went on. Week two, yeah, not the result you're looking for. Obviously, that red zone stint was not very good either, but he was better in that game. Week three, he looked great against the Saints. Regular season week one, obviously he's figuring out his footing in the NFL. No touchdown drives, but you saw some growth there. Week two, obviously you didn't see the offense purring soon enough, and the Texans were in a 14-point hole before we even knew what happened. But as that game went on, I thought he played better. And the last two games have been outstanding. So I get hesitance to jump aboard the C.J. Stroud bandwagon. I get hesitance to avoid smooching that donk. But I think as time goes on, if you resist, you are going to be on an island all by yourself. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. If you have any Astros twins thoughts, we got to figure out some material to roast these people. The wee
and twins.
Oh, gosh. I stepped all over it. Hit me again, Coors Light.
And twins.
Twins. I forgot about it there too, Sean. It's the rain. The rain's screwing me up today, man. Not used to it. Anyway, we wrap this show up with a little garbage time. And, man, athletes today, they seem particularly, and I hate to say this word, but soft when it comes to handling criticism. You'll find out how next. Paul Galancho.
ESPN 97.5. God listens to us, too. Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
Astros and Twins, first pitch of that series, 3:45 Saturday with Justin Verlander on the hill for Houston. The Twins swept the Toronto Blue Jays in two games, a 2-0 victory yesterday after a 3-1 victory on Tuesday. I think you got to respect the Twins a little bit. I don't know if this text is sarcastic. It's from the 409. We cannot reasonably judge C.J. Stroud until he has played a few games behind his number one offensive line. Let's give the kid a break on that till then. Just saying, ... Well, hang on. It's more impressive that he's doing this without his first team offensive line. And by the way, they're not going to have the first team offensive line ever this year. You're just not going to have it. Right now, at practice yesterday, the report was that left tackle Laremy Tunsil's back, but instead of playing right tackle, Titus Howard is now left guard. He's played guard before. At center, it's Jarrett Patterson. That's your third center, optimally. We'll see if Juice Scruggs even plays this year with that hamstring injury he's dealing with. Right guard, you got Shaq Mason. Right tackle, it's George Vant. That's not a first-team offensive line. But also, if he's doing this with a bad offensive line in front of him, I feel like you can reasonably judge C.J. Stroud for the better.
Yeah, I feel like this text is either misunderstanding what people are saying about C.J. Stroud. I don't know how you're getting the opposite.
It's got to be sarcastic.
Or it is sarcasm that, I don't know, doesn't land perfectly.
Okay, guys. Let's do a little garbage time.
I'm only happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
So there's a lot of controversy about Rodney Harrison on the NBC broadcast of Sunday Night Football, Chiefs and Jets. This exchange that he had with Chiefs defensive tackle Chris Jones about Zach Wilson, who had a surprisingly decent night for the Jets.
Was Zach better tonight than what you anticipated he would be watching him on tape? And you could be honest.
If I'm being completely honest, we knew it was going to be a battle. He's continuing to get better week in and week out, and he's continuing to lead week in and week out.
But watching that tape, man, you got to look at this dude and say, oh, he is garbage. Like, we should really tear him apart.
Sure. Earlier, like I said, Zach Wilson is special, man. You just got to give the guy time. You know what I mean?
Wait. Did you say Zach Wilson is special?
Yeah.
I think he had a special night, but I don't think he's special. I've got to prove that over. You're special because you proved it over a course of time. He's not special. I'm just saying, Chris.
Hey, listen.
I'm just saying.
Did he actually call Zach Wilson garbage? Because I've seen it put out there that he called Wilson garbage. He's implying that he's garbage there. And by the way, to this point in his career, Wilson has been. And Wilson has gotten a ridiculous amount of, I think, chances now due to injury to prove that he was worthy of the number two overall pick a couple of years ago in the draft. But this is getting a lot of pushback. I understand that players are supposed to be a little bit more of a camaraderie, fraternity, protect each other, not step on each other. But are we really dumping on Rodney Harrison for saying this to Chris Jones? Perhaps it was a leading point, but Harrison, as opposed to asking what Chris Jones thought, was sharing his opinion and seeing if Jones would react. I think if you're Rodney Harrison, you're still allowed to say, like, wow, okay, he had a decent game for the first time in a while. He still fumbled when it mattered most. And yet, everyone, specifically players, I saw Micah Parsons did a podcast segment about this, Sean. They're all acting like what Rodney Harrison did was super out of bounds. I don't think it was.
I think it's just because he asked Chris Jones the question. Like, he basically was like, did you, watching tape all week, you thought this guy was garbage, huh? And, like, that's just putting the player in such a bad position. To, like, because he really can't go, like, yeah, he's garbage, but he played the best night of his career against me.
But he could. He could.
But he, okay. You know he won't, so it's a bad question.
But then what's the point of asking questions? And what's the point of making comments? Because everyone does glad handle the things that we see in a game, even when we all know that it's bad. And they do it because they have to do interviews and talk with these people, the play-by-play broadcasters. And I think also there's an element where they don't want to be mean. They want to be kind. Yeah. That's totally fine as well. But what I can't get past is how there's so much pushback to Rodney Harrison saying something that we all have been saying until Sunday Night Football.
Do you think it's because he's a New England Patriot?
I'm not saying that.
I think it's because he's a New England Patriot. The media hates the New England Patriots.
I'm not allowed to say that, but I'm not pushing back on that.
I think it's because he let David Tyree absolutely eat his lunch that one time.
Stop.
What? He did.
He didn't eat his lunch. It was a fluke play.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't count. I'm sorry.
People don't like booing. Well, I like booing. Speaking of David Tyree, Syracuse grad, when David Tyree got introduced before a Syracuse game in 2008, you know who booed David Tyree? Me. I don't care that he went to Syracuse. F him.
Blood is thicker than water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I guess in this situation, the Patriots are thicker than the college you went to.
Yes, the Patriots donk. Now, it's starting to sag a little bit, but I mean, it's 20 years of quarters bouncing off it. But people are getting mad at boos across the NFL. This is Miles Sanders, now Panthers running back, when asked about Carolina Panthers fans booing the 0-4 Panthers.
How does it make you feel when you hear the fans booing the offense?
It's not cool. It's not cool at all, you know, especially at home. It's just not good feeling.
Why can't they handle their own crowds booing them? If you suck, you suck. Do you really need to push back on that? Sorry, a crowd is not supposed to be behind you no matter what. Nope. Nope. That's what happens in North Korea. That is not supposed to happen in the United States of America, where we have freedom of choice and freedom of speech. We also saw Evan Neal, number 7 pick in the 2022 NFL draft, after a Giants offensive line allowed 11 sacks on Monday night, sarcastically gesturing to Giants fans to bring more boos. On Wednesday, he was asked about that sarcastic gesture. Quote, "They were booing us, so I said boo louder. Why would a lion concern himself with the opinion of a sheep? The person that's commenting on my performance, what does he do? Flip hot dogs and hamburgers somewhere?" Now, what Neil said is dickish. No doubt about it. The very least, this is better than Miles Sanders like, "Oh, it's not cool to boo our guys." But then Neil apologized afterwards. They can't allow themselves to be affected by the crowds. I really do think it's soft. And to make it about me for just a moment, do you see some of the comments I get on the text line, on the Twitch, on Twitter, and how I let that stuff roll off my shoulder? I got death threats for multiple weeks after my little appearance on Tucker Carlson. Multiple weeks. I didn't come back against all these people and say, "You're all despicable and terrible." I said, "Yeah, I probably was wrong about that." You admit you're wrong. You admit you aren't good. You let the people boo. You let the freedom of speech happen. So I think we got to wonder about this Gen Z, because it seems like more and more players in sports are getting mad about fans honestly assessing their play in verbal form. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, our texters, our Twitchers, and of course, our Twitter followers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, subscribe to the podcast. While you're at it, we'll be back at it tomorrow at East River 9 at 10. Up next, it's Connor and Beard. Stick around.
And those Twins
play it!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
Have you paid your dues, Jack? Yes, sir. The check is in the mail.